Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does
Barack Obama nor I support redefining the Constitution.
A limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my decision.
Smoke could be seen from blocks away. And protesters hurled trash cans and flashbangs at Washington. The bill is working intense partisan fight.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Bob and Weave. We're coming at you live, sort of live on tape, for our coronavirus catch-up episode.
Live on tape.
Yeah, we're live on tape. And that sultry voice you hear, I'm Bob Ruff, and that sultry voice you just heard there is, of course, the great and powerful Zach Weaver.
Hey, guys, it's me again. not going to lie here. We're going to get way off topic real quick. I almost shit myself like 5 minutes ago. Yeah, I'm lactose intolerant and I love ice cream. So got me. Quarantine style.
You know, this quarantine has made it so it's a new normal. And now apparently you tell thousands of people about your bowel movements that are unexpected.
Yeah, it's all right. They'll get a laugh out of it.
Yeah, I will. You know, before we start, I don't know if you made yourself a drink, but it's nighttime when we're recording this, so I'm having myself an ice cold Busch Light. Today's episode is sponsored in part by Busch Light.
Why?
it's so good. This is all I do, Zach. I've been working out, though. For those of you that were wondering from the last episode, I have been working out.
I have a Tito's and Sprite right now.
Sounds healthier.
Yeah, it's delicious. So you've been working out. That's good.
Yep, I haven't been doing as much cardio as I'd like to do, but I've been lifting weights like 6 days a week. I've been taking 1 day a week off, but I've been lifting weights. A few listeners have messaged me on social media, called me a fat ass.
Thank you guys, we appreciate that.
Yep, there's something really loud just happened. I realized that my heater just turned on. Hang on,
there we go.
Sound like there was a jet engine in the studio.
Just boom, good to go.
Well, life's changed. Because of the coronavirus, for those of you that are watching, Zach, you can't see right now, but I'm currently sporting my Stormy Cromer hat because that's the life that I've been living. Do you know what a Stormy Cromer hat is?
I have no idea what that is.
So do you have your phone or anything in front of you?
I have my computer in front of me.
Okay, so if you look up a Cromer, Kromer, it's like a classic Michigan outdoors hat from like the turn of the 19th century or 18th century, whatever.
Oh, I see it now. Your wife posted this on social media.
Yes, she hates my Cromer hat, but I've dug the Cromer hat out while I've been doing some turkey hunting with the kids. Like, we're just doing like anything to have something to do. You know, Quentin and I spent this entire weekend out turkey hunting. We did not get a turkey, but we spent a lot of time sitting in the woods and making fake turkey calls. I'm gonna be honest with you, I haven't worn real pants other than sweatpants or hunting pants in, I don't know, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I actually have worn real pants, but it was just to try to impress my wife. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, trying to have a little sexy time.
Trying to have some sexy time.
You know, it's so bad. Like, I don't even give a fuck anymore, dude. Like, I'll be sitting here and like, I need to go to the store for something, yeah, which is a whole nother experience we'll talk about in a second. And I'll be sitting there wearing, like, and by the way, when I say sweat, I have like a favorite pair of sweatpants or like a really old pair of Under Armour sweatpants.
Okay.
And so I'm not wearing like different sweatpants every day. Like it's the same pair of pants. Like I change my shirt daily. Because like that's how I feel clean. I change my underwear most of the time, most days. And then I It's like socks, underwear, and shirt get changed semi-regularly, but the sweatpants are just the same. And I'll be sitting there like wearing a shirt that I worked out in the morning that's sweaty and nasty and doesn't fit me right. And my nasty, dirty sweatpants that have like hot wing sauce wiped on them. I think I wiped some boogers on one side of them. Like, and I'm like, I need to go to the store. And I'm like, oh, I guess I could get cleaned up and get dressed, or fuck it. And I just go to the store like this. Yeah, like, see,
I was imagining you wearing like those like gray Costco sweatpants.
Oh, with the tight bottoms, like around the ankles.
The tight bottom, yes, those.
No, these are cool sweatpants. They're Under Armour. They're black. They're like open bottoms. I mean, it's the kind of cool sweatpants you'd wear if you were going to wear sweatpants.
Gotcha.
But dude, I feel accomplished in the morning if I get up and I brush my teeth. Like, that's a win for starters. Yeah. Which by the way, speaking of teeth, so I think I've mentioned on the show before that I got invisible aligners.
Yeah, and you hate them.
Yeah, well, you know, I got used to them, but yeah. You know, they're a pain in the ass. You got to take them out every time you eat and clean them and brush your teeth. But this, the lockdown began the day before I had an orthodontist appointment. So the way it works is they give you 10 trays at a time. So the trays you click into your teeth and mm-hmm. you wear them for a week. And, you know, so it's for 10 weeks, every week you go to the next level to adjust your teeth. Well, I was on day 6 of my last set of trays. And I was supposed to go back the next day, and they had to do a little bit of work on my teeth, whatever, and then give me my next 10. And then they shut everything down. So that was back in March, like March 23rd, something like that, I think, somewhere around there.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so I was supposed to be out of those trays on the 24th of March and into the next one. They're not made to be worn very long, besides the fact that your teeth have already moved. They don't need to move anymore. They start to degrade. And they get like almost mushy, you know, the plastic.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And you clean them and clean them and clean them. But I mean, there's little nooks and crannies that shit gets stuck in. So I'm now like 6-7 weeks into this set of trays, and it's absolutely miserable. I'm pissed off, number one, because it's setting me back, you know, a month or two in my whole procedure because I couldn't move up to the next one. The trays are gross. So like that's like the highlight of my day is when I get up in the morning and I take those nasty trays out of my teeth and I scrub them with vinegar to try to keep everything out. Then I brush my teeth and then maybe put some deodorant on and then throw a shirt on and throw some sweatpants on, maybe some new underwear, and then start my day. That's my hygiene routine now.
That's pretty miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? You get used to it, though. It's like they say a new normal. Like, that's just what I do now. I think if someone saw me like walk into the local grocery store wearing like blue jeans and a nice shirt with my hair combed, that they would probably freak out. Like, what happened? I mean, I just look like a total just piece of shit. Just look like a total piece of shit right now.
And that's good because you were on TV like 2 weeks ago.
I know. So funny. Today, I had to stop at the hardware store for something. And of course, I go in and everybody's keeping away from everyone. That's a whole weird experience. But then I ran into a guy I went to high school with, and all of a sudden I hear, and of course, he's wearing a mask. And you know, he's like, Bobby Ruff, what's up, man? You're a big movie star right now. Or you're a big movie star now, huh? And I just look down. I'm like, just look at me. Do I look like a movie star to you right now? There's a cheese stain in the middle of my t-shirt that I'm wearing right now that I was in public with today. I don't know. I think I spilled some of Parker's macaroni and cheese on my shirt and it's just there. And
oh, that's good.
Didn't warrant changing.
That's so good.
So what have you been up to? I saw you guys made snowmen the other day, or a snowman.
We did make a snowman, and then snow by the next person. Morning.
A snow person.
A snow person. We made a snow person, and he didn't last very long. I mean, the weather around here has been crazy. We had enough snow and good snow. I mean, we probably had an inch and a half of snow. And then literally by the next day, it was, you know, I was outside in shorts working on the yard.
Yeah. So this weekend, you know, like I said, it was Saturday was the opener of turkey season. So, you know, Saturday morning, I picked Quentin up. He was at his mom. So I pick him up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we head out to our, you know, long hike out to where we're going to turkey hunt. And it's freezing. I mean, it was 24 degrees when we sat down. It didn't get much warmer when the sun came up. And then yesterday, Sunday, the next day we go out and it's like 45 degrees at the same time. And then it got up, you know, but yesterday afternoon we're outside in the sunshine mowing. I mowed the grass yesterday.
I've been trying to mow the grass. My lawnmower's fighting me.
It doesn't want to start?
Yeah, it doesn't want to start. That's a whole other story for another time.
Oh, you trying to mow down your dandelions?
I need to, bad.
That's why I had to move out of that neighborhood, because Zach's yard was embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
Speaking of yards, like, you know how I am about my yard. You remember my yard there and how, like,
oh, yes.
I no weeds. I wanted, you know, watered, fertilized, green, luscious lawn. That's my thing. Mow nice little lines into it. And mm-hmm. I can't get my sprinkler company or my fertilizer company out here because of the lockdown.
The corona.
I know. The corona is ruining my fucking lawn. I already saw a dandelion today. I was out riding the side-by-side around with Parker, and I was like, there's a fucking dandelion right in the middle of my yard. Son of a bitch.
Oh, boy. It's going to hell.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully this will be over with soon. So we have... listeners, you put up a post in the Bob and Wee fan group for listeners to ask some corona questions for us. So we'll, gosh, there's a lot of them. So we'll get to some of those. Before we do, I wanted to just kind of topical, a little more probably serious than this stuff that we have the questions about. Michigan, so you guys know, I think most of you know that we live in Michigan, and we are one of the states that's been on the national news for people doing protests about our governor. So I was wondering, we talked about this a little bit last week when we recorded Truth and Justice. But what are your feelings about the quarantine, the stay at home, the executive orders from our governor? I know this is not just a Michigan thing, but in Michigan, I've thought a little bit more about it since we talked. Then I mean, it's curious, like, but I never really got into what are your thoughts on all of this.
I'm really torn. Honestly, I'm really torn on the whole thing. I think the stay-at-home order is a good thing. To be 100% honest, I think it's a good thing. I think it's something we needed to do. It sucks. You know, I'm out of work. I've been out of work since March 21st. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't made a fucking dime. It sucks a lot. You know, and I'm right there with these people. I understand that, you know, it sucks. But I think it was the right thing to do. Now, with that being said, I think there are limitations in the stay-at-home order that are asinine, just absolutely asinine. You know, the no fishing with a powered motor, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. There's a lot of things that don't make sense to me. The not traveling to your own property doesn't make sense to me. You know, I have a business that is a personal one-on-one business, and there is no way to stay apart. Now, it sucks that they closed us. I mean, what am I supposed to do? But I get it. There's no way to avoid personal contact in what I do. So with that being said, I mean, it's so tough. It really is tough. I think, honestly, a lot of the stay-at-home stuff is good. You know, trying to keep people away, trying to keep people healthy. But I think there's a point where it can be overstepped.
Well, and I think that that's where we're at. Because I'm with you. You know, I was obviously, I don't like any of this. I don't, you know, my kids don't like it. You know, they were excited to have, when they said their school was shut down for 2 weeks before spring break, they were thrilled. And then when they shut it down for the rest of the year, they were not so thrilled. They're just like, what the hell? You know, they haven't, you know, my daughter hasn't seen her boyfriend in weeks, and, you know, Quentin hasn't seen his friends, and it's rough on them. But I supported it because, you know, I'm certainly not a scientist. I don't understand all this stuff. And it seems to me that this is the steps we're taking were smart steps. At least I could see logic behind them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I have a lot of friends like you personally. You know, we're very close, and it's like it sucks. Like it bummed me out. You were the first person I thought of when they said they were shutting down all these businesses. It's like, God, Zach, like that's Zach's livelihood. I have several mm-hmm. friends who are hairstylists that are out of work. I mean, there's a lot, and I hate it, but there was a logic there that made sense to me, and people were for the most part adhering to the orders, mm-hmm. and then came this most recent one where our governor. Amongst other things, so there's some weird things. So one of them is, and the reason I'm bringing some of those up because I discussed it with some people on the fan group on Facebook, but like the gardening supplies, lawn and garden supplies, seeds mm-hmm. and rakes and shovels and everything. So part of the order is that you can't purchase any of those items at a store that is that has a floor plan greater than 50,000 square feet, right?
You're correct.
Yeah. And so first, everybody thought that was, and myself included, Zach had to correct me on this last week, that like you couldn't buy seats at all, which I was really pissed off about because, you know, I'm trying to use this to teach my kids some new skills. You know, I had Quentin out helping me rototill the, where we're going to plant a garden. And like I said, we've been doing hunting and fishing and all these things. We're trying to get outdoors and do stuff outside. And it's some, for some ways, it's been a good experience with my kids because we've interacted more than we normally would, especially this time of year, and doing some cool stuff. But then, you know, we found out, well, it's only in the big stores. But this is where I start to have the problem. When you start to think about things. So, for example, the closest to me example of this is the Walmart. There's a Walmart that is not far from me. That's basically, if I want to get any variety of items, that's where I'm going, is to Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, you can get groceries and everything else. Well, at Walmart, they've got barricaded off the lawn and garden section. They got barricaded off just certain parts of the store because their floor plan's too big. So now I have to go there anyway. You know, I have to go there to, and this is where it doesn't make sense. So I have to go there, say, to get groceries. Now, if you go there to buy a Milky Way, you are going to interact. You're breathing the same air as all those hundreds of people. You're going through the checkout line. You're touching the carts. You're doing everything. Whether if you're just buying one item. So by my logic is like, so if I'm there, I don't want to do that to, I don't want to go to multiple places, you know, and do this all over again and deal with different checkout people and different credit card machines and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I'd go there and I'd get my groceries and I need a new pack of underwear because I just don't feel like wearing the ones that I wore for 3 days in a row last week. And, you know, a couple things and I'm trying to plant a garden, I'll get my seeds. But now because of this order, and the logic is they're saying, well, people have to clean those shelves and they're trying to, there's a lot to be done. But the thing is, it's still happening. It's happening at the store right next door. There's a Tractor Supply company right next door. So literally for me, I went and got all these items at Walmart. I interacted with all those people. I touched all these things. I checked out. You can buy a big screen TV on one side of the barricade, but on the other side of the barricade is, you know, a rake that you're not allowed to buy because that's unsafe. Yeah. So then I leave and I drive across the way and go to a different store to go buy that rake or go buy those seeds. And now I'm interacting with a whole nother group of people and a whole nother set of things that I'm touching and all that. It just like that part, that's one of the more mild ones, but the logic there seems flawed to me on that one.
Yeah, I think the idea behind the whole thing is within good intention. I just think that it was a really flawed execution.
Yeah, well, and some of it is just straight up hypocritical, and this is where things get worse for me. And so, like, there was these protests in Lansing last week, where people literally like took their cars and blocked downtown. And then, of course, people the media tried to say they were blocking hospitals, but literally there were people that drove around videoing, showing like, look, there's no problem with access to the hospitals. Still, people were not in the protests. Were not doing social distancing. They were too close to each other. It was ineffective. It was stupid. I would never do it. So I'm not advocating for them to do it. But when this order came down, I just want to point out that 4 days before this, I told my wife, people are going to fucking protest.
Yeah.
And it's a simple concept to me that you can only you. There was a in church years ago. There was a guy, some guy that came in and did a special speech or whatever. But what I remember from what him saying is he was talking about control, and he's like, so if you take this cup of sand and you pour it into your hand, like you have your hand kind of cupped open, and he's like, look, if you're gentle with this, you can control this entire cup of sand. You can hold it in your hand and it doesn't spill on the floor. But if you make a fist and try to over control it and try to squeeze it, it spills out all over the place. And it's always stuck with me. And that's what's happening there. It was predictable human behavior that people were going to revolt because of things like the boating thing. So for those of you who don't know, part of our order was after she's told us, our governor, that we need to go outside and, you know, use this time to enjoy the fresh air. We have a beautiful state, especially it's a beautiful time of year in our state. But in this order, it says you can go fishing or boating if you have a kayak or a canoe. Or a raft. But if you have a motor, because you know, so there's like flatback canoes where you put like a little motor on the back. There's a motor on your canoe. You can't go out. That's unsafe.
So what do you think is the intention behind that?
Well, so I will say that there was some logic behind it. I disagree with it, but the logic was, if there's a motor on your boat, that means now you have to stop at a gas station and you got to put gas in it, and there's something that could potentially break down, and they're trying to limit the number of people that are at the boat launches so people aren't congregating together. So that's what I've heard is the logic behind it.
Okay, which I mean, there's some sense there.
Right, but let's start with the gas station. You know what has been deemed essential that people can buy anywhere right now in Michigan because it's essential is lottery tickets and
what?
Booze. Yes, lottery tickets, booze, cigarettes, which I mean, these are addictive chemicals, some of the things, but let's say the lottery tickets. Of course, the lottery tickets are what is paying our governor's salary. You know, as part of the, you know, that not the only thing, but you know, that money goes to the state. It's deemed open. So by making, you know, where do people generally buy lottery tickets?
Gas stations.
Exactly. So by leaving those open, you're saying it's okay for people to go to the gas station where you have to go inside to buy lottery tickets. And it's for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because of the coronavirus or whatever's happening right now, but it seems like every time I go to a gas station right now, there's a line of people that are buying lottery tickets and going through, you know, the people that like, you know, name off, give me 10 of these scratch offs and they stand there and scratch them off and then they cash those in and get more. Like I've seen that everywhere, but you've left something open that guarantees people have to go in face to face and then touch items. Like the cashier has to pull it off the thing, rip it off, and hand it to you at the gas stations. But the boat, you can fill up your boat and pay at the pump. You're there anyway. You pull up, you can use your credit card, ride the pump, never have to interact with another human to put gas in it. So the things like this that start to cause the problems. Like you're telling me the reason I can't have I can't take my boat, that I have a little boat, little fishing boat, I can't take my kids fishing on that because it's too dangerous for me to go to a gas station. It's an excessive use of the gas station. But it's okay for Joe Blow down the street to go to that same gas station 10 times a week to buy lottery tickets. And that's where things start to break down, especially the lottery ticket is a good example because it's something that the state directly benefits from.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, while people like you are out of work, your job, you don't get to make money. But they're like, oh, we're not going to shut this down because that's how we make money.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. Everything is so weird right now, you know, and the protests, I get where the protesters are coming from. I mean, I definitely support their ideas. I think the protests were stupid.
It was.
I agree 100% honest.
Yeah, 100% I agree with you. It was stupid and but like I said when I was discussing with somebody on the fan page, it was stupid, but it was a predictable human response to what's happening.
No, 100%.
When you start infringing on people's rights and you restrict their movements, what this order is, it's taking away your freedom. It was taking away your freedom when they told you couldn't work anymore. But it was justified. It was justifiable. At least, you know, most people believe that it was justifiable. But this was,
I agree.
You know, and people, so like that control thing. So like the boats, all they need to do, which was what was in the previous executive order. And I have yet to see any reports where people were not adhering to this. There's been like generalities, but nobody, because there's multiple sheriff's departments, county sheriff's departments in our state that have said they refuse to enforce this order. They won't do it.
Yeah. Well, I know multiple friends of mine who are law enforcement, and they have basically told me that they were given orders to leave people alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Right here in our area. I also know a lot of cops that have said the same thing.
So, all right. Well, I'm done talking about this. Fuck this.
Let me finish this one point. What I was going to say, the culmination of this is things like the boating, what was in the old order prior to this one was that you're not allowed to have anybody on your boat that is not from your household, which I can get behind. I can make sense. I adhere to it. I used to fish with my brother a lot after this happened. I didn't take my brother fishing with me anymore. I only fish with Becky and the kids. At boat launches, just like everywhere else, you're not supposed to be within 6 feet of people, which if you've ever, and people talk about a congregation, if you've ever been to a boat launch and launched a boat, you know, you can't get it. It doesn't work like that. You're back in, there's one, your truck and your one little spot. You're backing it down, getting your boat off, and then you have to move away before the next truck can come in. But so, like, if all they said is, like, double down on that, like, listen, we're going to write you $1,000 tickets if you put people in your boat that aren't from your household, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agree with that because that makes sense. And then and we police it. But by taking in, that's where people have had the issue. You know, and like I said, the reason I want to talk about it a little bit here and we'll move on from this now, but is because, you know, I've had discussions online and people got, you know, people, that's what I love about our group, about the Bob and Weave fans, is there were some good discussions about it. People like that, people that disagreed with me, they're like, no, they think this makes sense. And there are people still that will believe that. I'm not changing anyone's mind, but that's where it's caused me to do a lot of thinking and really pin down the things like, okay, this is why I have a problem with it. Cause, you know, it's like the knee jerk reaction is I have a problem with this. And it caused me to look and say, okay, but why? Is it because you don't get to go fishing anymore and you don't get to go to your cabin anymore? But on a deeper issue, it's bothersome. But I think it's wrong. But that being said, I'm not going to go protest. I'm going to sit here and have my pity party with my Cromer hat and my Bush Light and my dirty underwear and make a fucking podcast.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
So that's my little rant about our current state of the nation. I didn't realize that the same thing's been going on in other states. I just saw in the news this morning there was and I think Pennsylvania and some other places people are doing the same thing, same issues.
Yeah, it there's a lot going on all over the country. And like I said, I think there's a lot of good that's happening, you know, on both sides. I think there's a lot of good that's happening by staying in place. You know, it's helping our health, but I also think there's the good by the people that are rejecting it. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, I don't necessarily think they should be out doing these huge protests as they've been doing, but I think that we're standing up for ourselves, and I think that's important. The right. problem is you always have those outliers. The same deal with in Truth and Justice. Like right now in Truth and Justice, you're going through a call to action of trying to get people to reach out to Scott Ellington.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the mass of people are going to do what they need to do appropriately, but you're going to have that handful of assholes that are not going to do it right. They're going to go out, they're going to name call, they're going, you know what I mean? They're going to go about things completely the wrong way and make it look bad for everybody. And that's what happens in these protests, is they've got people out there doing things that are just making it look bad for everybody.
That's a really good point, because that's part of what's frustrating for me, is I feel the way that I've just explained that I feel about these things. Other people that maybe share some of the same viewpoints or out there making jackasses of themselves. And so, like, I don't want to be attached to them. I'm not going to go do that. Like, I'm just upset about it. But I'm gonna follow it, but I'm upset about it. But then, yeah, there are these outliers that are being dipshits, really.
Mm-hmm. That's really what's happening. So, we're 25 minutes in. Let's get to some questions.
Okie dokie.
So, basically, the first question we got, it's kind of along these same lines, comes from John Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read it here the way he wrote it. So, what are y'all's opinions on the balance between being safe and staying inside and the slow downturn of the economy? So, I'm just going to stop it there and see what you think.
We've talked about some. To be honest with you, and this is another, I don't want to get political on it because it's another hot topic. I have been very, I just turned my hat backwards, by the way. I never wear my hat backwards. But I noticed my hat was casting a shadow over my head, and this is new me wears his Cromer hat backwards on a podcast.
Oh boy.
But, you know, there's been some encouraging things where people have come together. There's been some bipartisan stuff that's been pretty amazing that's happened, which I'd love to see. But then, man, then there's still I've been really absent from social media lately because I just get so tired. Like, everything that there's the camp that everything Trump does is wonderful, and then there's the camp that everything that Trump does is horrible, and it just, that stuff's really irritating me. But so, with that being said, I think that obviously it's horrible. I think that the stay, to add to what we were just talking about, I think that these stay-at-home orders could be handled a little better in order to help with it. The economic crisis is not going to go away during this, but I think you can help with some of it. I think there are people that are shut down right now that don't need to be. Like, for example, one of the things in our executive order is lawn care workers aren't allowed to work, which is another thing that silly. I think is ridiculous, especially right now is like one of their busiest times of year. And, you know, it's a business that, you know, I mow my own grass. It doesn't affect me, but my neighbor owns a lawn care company. It's 40 employees that are now out of work. And he's like, my guys, they have all their different trucks. They don't, like, some of them work in teams, but for the most part, they travel themselves in a truck and a trailer, and they pull up and they pull their mower off and they do their thing. You know, and everybody's driving separately. They never come into contact with each other. They never come into contact with customers. So, like, that's one thing that I think that is silly. I think that's one place where we can just help the economy out a little bit and still maintain the social distancing aspect. And there's a lot of other examples like that. But for the most part, I think this is, you know, whoever was president, and that's what I'm talking about. The arguments about this, I think, are just foolish. There's no reason for it. It's not effective. It's not helping anything. The fact is, whether Barack Obama or Donald Trump or Joe Biden or George Bush or Hillary Clinton were president during this, the economy was going to take a massive hit. There's no way around that. There's nothing.
Absolutely.
You know, and I've had people that are, you know, that have argued, you know, that, Trump set us up with blah, 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 and that's why this, whatever. It's going to happen. When you shut the fucking country down and 22 million people aren't working, things are going to go downhill a little bit. That being said, I'd love to see. Now, there was issues with it. There was lots. There was some fighting. There was some shitty stuff done on both sides, in my opinion. But they were able to get this stimulus package through, which I think is awesome that it's taken longer than it would have been nice to, you know, if everybody got the, you know, like you and Michelle, you know, with the two of you with a couple kids. So what is that like? Did you guys get yours yet?
No, and we won't get ours for a long time, even if we do get one, because of the way everything's set up. It's all set up for people that get income taxes direct deposited. Well, first of all, right. I haven't gotten income taxes in 15 years.
Me neither.
You know, I've paid income taxes for 15 years. So I don't have something set up to get money direct deposited to me. You know, so I mean, it's a whole mess. You know, so you do have people that are getting it, and it's great, but you have people that just are not going to get it. Most self-employed people aren't going to get it right away when they need it. The same thing with some of these bailouts that they have, like this paycheck thing that you talked about, this paycheck protection program thing that you and I talked about last week.
Right.
Not on Bob and Wee, but we just talked about last week. Literally, I get off the phone with you and look into it, and they've run out of money.
Yep.
You know, and so that's ridiculous. And the thing is, they're not even helping small businesses. They've given tons of money to huge businesses through this, and have just totally fucked small businesses. They gave $20 million to Ruth Chris Steakhouse. You know, what the fuck? Then you have a ton of mom and pop shops that are going to close because we can't afford to stay open because of stuff like that.
Right. You know, and I think that there's something too that it definitely helps, or it's definitely helping the bigger businesses too. But there, you know, I've looked a lot into it, and by the way, I don't know if you heard, but I think today they either passed it, the more funding for it, or are about to pass a bill to refund it, to keep it going again.
Well, good.
Because it was like $350 billion. So in a way it worked. I mean, people applied for it, and there are limitations on it. So it's, in order for that to be a forgiven loan, like a grant, you have to actually use that money to pay employees, to keep them working. So it's not like with the Ruth's Chris thing, I get what you're saying, like it's a big corporation and they're fucked, but it's not for them. You know what I mean? They're using, in order for this for them to get it, they have to use that money to pay all of their employees that aren't working. Which is you and me, you know, normal people, you know, it's not the big executives, and they put some limitations on there. One of them being that because obviously the executives and all these people, they can, you know, they can pay their salaries too, but it's capped. You can only get it to pay people that make $100,000 a year or less.
Okay.
So like if there's an executive that makes $1 million a year, he can't pay his salary with it. He can only pay the other workers with it, you know, and there. But it's what sucks is you had $350 billion, and when you take a $20 million hit from one company, that sucks. And they have the best accountants and everything, so I'm sure within 10 minutes they had that thing filed, and so they got in on the front end of it.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, I'm not. I don't want to say that I'm totally dogging Ruth Chris, even calling them out by name or anything like that. I understand what they're doing, but you have, you know, mom and pop shops across the country that aren't chains, that aren't, don't have this going, you know what I mean? That,
right.
That this is, the full intention is for them, you know, and it's just, literally it's called a small business, you know, like it's in the title. I guess it's not in the title of the paycheck Paycheck Protection
Act. Backed by the Small Business, backed by the Small Business Administration.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what gets me. I'll get real fired up about it, and I don't want to do that tonight. I want to have fun.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, and it's like, to me, I agree with you to an extent, but I, like I said, I also, you know, I'm trying to look at things as positive as possible, and they put some limitations in there like that so that, you know, big corporate greedy companies couldn't just come in and say, oh, I'm going to take all this money and use it. The only thing they can use it for is to pay the salaries of other people, of their employees, which are mm-hmm. ordinary people. And hopefully this new, you know, the nice thing is that it got used. People used it and they replenished it, and they're going to put some more money in it. But it's just something to keep people working. You know, that's a little more, you know, it's basically, for those of you that don't know the Paycheck Protection Program, you can get a loan for 2 months worth of salaries for your employees. And if you keep your employees on staff and you pay them their salaries during those 2 months, whether they're working or not, then the loan's forgiven. And so that was put in there so that people can't abuse it. They can't get it and then just, you know, pocket it. If they do that, then they have to pay it all back. But if they use it, that's why it wasn't just given away. It was set up as a loan that's forgiven if you do what you're supposed to do with it.
Yeah, which, I mean, like I said, I think it's a great program. I think it could be a great program. I just think that it's frustrating. And I'm real frustrated about the whole thing.
Well, it's frustrating. And definitely get on it tomorrow. Check, because you should be. I believe today they approved the money and they'll start taking applications again soon, I'm sure. But that the frustrating part was that, yeah, they ran out of money. Right. You know, within a week, like as soon as everybody was like, oh, this is great. This will help me a lot, especially independent contractors. I told you about it. My friend Carrie, who is a hairstylist, I'm like, do this. You can get your salaries. And then like the next day, it's like, nope, we ran out of money.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Sucks a lot. So it looks like we got one more serious one, then we can roll into some fun ones here.
Okay.
So John again asks, what permanent changes do you expect to occur from what we're going through, similar to the airport security changed in after 9/11?
Man, I don't know. I hope nothing. And I that's a weird thing to say, but like, I don't like the way things are. Like, I don't like the fact that when I ran into my buddy from high school at the hardware store that I mentioned, that we never got within 6 feet of each other and never shook each other's hand.
Yeah.
You know, and that I've run into like my very close friend when I was at a store last week, like a person that I would normally like, oh, it's great to see you and give them a hug, that you can't do that. You know, obviously there's things like my family, like my mom, my dad, you know, they're definitely in a high risk category. So I'm not having any contact with them. That stuff I'm sure will go away, but it's the way we're all acting when we're at in public places like stores, grocery stores, that I think some of that may become the new normal. I hope it doesn't, just because I don't know. I'm an extrovert.
And you're talking about people kind of minding their own business. You almost, and I notice this too, you walk through the store and people kind of don't even look at you. They look away when you walk past them. They're not talking to anybody.
It's eerie.
Like, so I do have a funny store story here for you too.
Okay.
That comes up with all this. I have been doing the grocery shopping for my family and my grandparents since this whole thing has been gone down. And in the time since then, since end of March, I have not had a single person at the store besides a cashier talk to me. So the other day, Michelle sends me to the store to get something specific. Happens to be right next to the marshmallows is what she's wanting me to get. So it's marshmallow fluff, like in a can. She's trying to make something.
Right.
So it's right next to the marshmallows. I know exactly where they're at because I've literally stood in front of the marshmallows looking for this thing. I go 3 aisles down, and the first person to talk to me in a month and a half is a little old woman, and she asked me where the marshmallows were. And I was so thrilled because I actually knew where they were.
I just looked at them.
I literally just looked at them. What are the chances that the first person that talks to me in a month and a half asks me something I actually know?
Right. What are the chances of someone asking you something you actually know ever?
Exactly. I know. I was fucking blown away.
That's so awesome. You're like, it's on aisle two, about halfway down. It's going to be on your right side at about
exactly. Level. Bottom shelf.
Yeah.
Bottom shelf. Yeah. No, I had it all. No, I think, you know, my feelings towards this moving forward, I think you're going to see a lot less large gatherings, a lot less large festivals, that type of thing. I think that Yeah, maybe not forever, but you know, in the next couple years, you're not going to see Coachella. You're not going to see some of these huge music festivals. You're not, you know, I think sporting events are going to be held differently once they return. You know, I think they're going to cut down on that, which maybe they won't. Obviously, it's a business and they're trying to make money. They're trying to pack those seats, but I think that you're going to have a lot of limitations on gatherings.
And that is, I hope not. I mean, and I get it, but it's like, man, we've made it as a, let's just talk about in the United States of America, we've made it for, 225 years, you know, being able to gather like that. And then this, you know, this virus comes in and we've had to make these measures. I hope that doesn't change ever. I'm already bummed out because, you know that my wife for my birthday got me tickets to go see Tom Segura in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So that's May 30th. And when all this started, before like, you know, I'll say not everybody else, I wasn't taking this whole thing real seriously. I'm like, that's a flu, whatever. And so I was like, well, it's May 30th. And airline tickets went to the floor. The prices dropped dramatically. So I was like, sweet, so I snatched us up some plane tickets. I mean, round trip from South Bend, which for those of you who don't know, we have a small little airport right near my house that usually we don't fly out of because it's very expensive. It's cheaper to like drive to Chicago and fly. Like out of South Bend to Vegas, it was like $270 or something per ticket, or $216, something like that. Well, yeah. We just got an email day before yesterday that says they canceled the show.
Oh, that sucks.
And it just sucks. I was actually supposed to be in Vegas right now. I was going there to interview somebody for another story I'm working on. And so I already canceled those flights. But then this one, I just kept thinking, it's like, man, we're still, you know, when it first started, it's like, we're still 2 months away. We're still a month, you know, it's like we're right now about 6 weeks away from it. And I was like, you know, after May 1st, they're talking about, you know, loosening up on some of the restrictions. Maybe we'll still be good. And then, nope, they canceled it. And I just think about that, not only for us, like you hate to not have those things. Once this is, you know, once there's a vaccine or whatever science does to try to make it so, you know, this is okay again. You know, I hope this gets back to normal because, you know, I just like the way things were, to be selfish about it. And then also, you know, just think about those. I think about guys like, you know, because like Tom Segura's a guy. So for some of you that listen to our podcast and you feel like you have a relationship with us, you know, which is awesome because we feel like we have a relationship with you that are listening. Yeah, I'm that way with like Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer. Mm-hmm. You know, listen to that, you know, because I watch their Two Bears, One Cave podcast on YouTube, and I watch Your Mom's House on YouTube, just all their stuff. And you feel like you know those guys, and like listening to them talk about how, man, I don't know when we're going to be able to perform again. And I don't know when we're going to be able to, you know, if ever we're going to be able to do it. And it's just like, oh, that's, you know, they're real people too that are, you know, that's their job. It's their career. And everything's changing. So, you know, I guess my answer to it is I just hope things go back to normal. I hope you're wrong, Zach. I fear that you're not, but I hope.
Oh, I hope I'm wrong too.
Yeah. I hope that we can get back to normal at some point. And I also feel like there's a weird thing, and I hate, you know, I hesitate to say it because people think that I'm one of these like corona deniers or something. But I also feel like there's one thing that I feel is true is that you can't beat nature.
Yeah,
I feel like we're doing all this and it's helping and it's taking the load. There's good reasons for it. It's taking the load off of the hospitals. It's freeing up hospital beds. It's slowing the spread, but ultimately, I feel like this virus is going to do what the virus wants to do. You know, like once we come back.
I 100% agree.
Like once we get back and, you know, they start. So when they say next month or something, they say, you can go back to work. Okay. And then, and everybody goes back to work. And then, you know, this started with one person. It started with one infected. There was patient zero in China. That's where it started. So as long as one person goes back out with it, I feel like, and maybe I'm just ignorant to how the science works, but to me, it's like, well, isn't it just going to happen again? The same thing?
Yeah.
But, you know, like I feel like eventually the illness is going to work its way through the population. Most people will get it and build up antibodies to it. And some, you know, some people, unfortunately, are going to get it and they're not going to make it through. And then at some point, then you have just like all the other viruses out there, you have a population of people that are, you know, the people that are left are pretty much immune to it. Or we get the, you know, the vaccines out and everybody gets vaccinated for it and then everyone's immune to it. But that's if it's something like chickenpox. If it's something like the flu, it just keeps mutating. It'll happen over and over again. So I don't know. That's a depressing thought and a fun podcast. But it's, to me, this thing is going to do what it's going to do. And we have to take measures to try to limit the effect of that. But eventually, like, you're not going to, you're just not going to, I don't think you're going to stop it.
I concur. All right, let's move on. Fun time. Fun time.
Toilet paper or something. Damn, I made myself sad right there. Sorry, everybody.
John posted a fun thing here. Little Debbie recently did a bracket tournament for their treats, right? Mm-hmm. So in their treat, in their bracket, oatmeal cream pie beat Nutty Buddies. Now, he actually posted the brackets. Now, I don't know if you've seen this.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. So I love this idea because I am a fat kid at heart and not totally not a fat kid in real life.
Right.
So
oh, I'm right. Oh, believe me, I'm definitely a fat kid in real life.
Without going through step by step, what are your feelings on this?
Well, I'm going to go through it step by step. First of all,
oh, you want to go step? Okay. No. Starting on the left side, one and eight.
So the, first up, you have oatmeal cream pies and Boston cream rolls.
I think that's an easy one. I mean, that's an easy one to me. That's oatmeal cream pies all day. That's too easy.
Oh, see, here's, this is where people, this is where we're going to lose fans and listeners and friends. I don't fucking like oatmeal cream pies.
How? They're the number one seed, man.
I don't know if we can still be friends. I've never liked them. I just never
have. You ever had a Boston cream roll?
I actually, but that was what I was going to say next is, I've actually never had a Boston cream roll. So I don't know what
that
is.
So we're going to check up oatmeal cream pie for the win on that one.
Yeah. So while I will concede the oatmeal cream pie win because I know that I can at least eat them. But I'm looking at that Boston cream roll. What is it? Like a cake with like chocolate frosting? I probably would love that.
It looks like a Swiss roll, but just different.
Yeah, something like that. But we'll give oatmeal cream pie with the win there. And then we have the strawberry shortcake roll and the zebra cake. That's an easy one for me. I'm a zebra cake man.
I'm a zebra cake guy.
Yep. See you later, strawberry. Now, don't get me wrong. You put a strawberry shortcake roll in front of me, I'm eating that fucker, but not over a zebra cake.
Not over a zebra cake.
Yep. The next one seems pretty easy, too.
Yeah. It's the banana twins versus the chocolate cupcake. I mean, the chocolate cupcake's legendary, right?
Yeah, it's a staple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, have you ever taken a banana twin and dipped it in milk and ate it?
I've never had a banana twin.
Oh, it's pretty well. It's that totally that like artificial banana flavor. So yeah. It's you either like it or you don't. But you dip that in some milk and eat it. It's pretty fucking tasty.
I'll be 100% honest. There's several on here that I'm like I've never seen before. So
next we have the honey bun and the star crunch.
See, I'm pulling the upset on this one. I'm pulling the number 7 honey bun over the star crunch.
Oh, really? See, that's a bad matchup for me. Two reasons. One, I think that the honey buns, well, I think they're gross. I don't like a honey bun. They're just, when I open a honey bun, I look at it and I like this, like I want it to be a delicious donut and it's just fucking not. It's a waxy, nasty, dry, like no thank you. I do not like a honey bun.
I think if you get a fresh one, they're good. They're a lot more like a glazed donut.
Oh, they're like pre-packaged shitty glaze. They're not like a Krispy Kreme. Like when I see it, I want a Krispy Kreme, and it's not.
So you're
a
picking
fucking
a Star Crunch.
This is my problem with it. Also, not a big fan of Star Crunches.
Yeah, me neither.
I grew up on it, but as I'm thinking about it, I remember as a kid eating them and liking them, but they weren't my favorite by far. But now I'm thinking like what were they? There's like chocolate and there's like Rice Krispies and there's like caramel in there. I don't remember everything.
Is there marshmallow to hold it together? I feel like there's marshmallow to hold it together.
I don't think so. Maybe I'm making shit up. But I'll go with you on the honey bun because really out of this whole I wouldn't choose either one of those.
Okay.
I'll concede the honey buns.
All right, I like that. I'll give it to you. So you want to go down, you want to stay on the same side or you want to go to the other?
Let's jump over to the other side in the first round. If you say donut sticks, we're not friends anymore.
No, it's definitely Nutty Buddy.
So it's Nutty Buddy versus donut sticks. Love a fucking Nutty Buddy. donut sticks are not the same thing. You want them to taste like a donut, but they taste like gas station trash.
Yeah, never had one.
The next we have fudge rounds versus Christmas tree cakes. That's a tough one. Love them both. I'm going fudge rounds.
I love fudge rounds. All-time favorite Little Debbie snack for me is a fudge round.
Me too. Dude, I'm right there with you. So we, as a kid, we always had my dad, you know, they would bring home. There were things he would bring home. There would be fudge rounds. He would get the Nutty Buddies, which I don't remember calling them Nutty Buddies. We called them Nutty Bars. But and then my brother was the one that liked the Star Crunch. That's why we had those. And he liked my older brother liked the oatmeal cream pies, and I didn't. My things were the fudge rounds and the Swiss cake rolls were my favorites. And then Nutty Bars were a close third for me. But definitely fudge rounds over the Christmas tree cakes.
Fudge rounds all the way. Matter of fact, I can guilty pleasure say that I had a fudge round this week.
Are you shitting me?
I am not kidding you. I love those fucking things.
I haven't had one for a long time, but I remember, dude, next time I'm in a gas station buying lottery tickets, I'm going to get, see how funny that was?
Yes.
Now, did you have a box of them at the house or did you just buy an individual one?
No, I bought an individual one at the gas station.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about, because the individual ones are the ones in the box are little, but the ones at the gas station are big. And didn't they used to have, do they still have, they're like giant ones?
They have double deckers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you
had? Delicious. Oh, yeah. Double decker.
I swear to God, I'm going to the truck stop as soon as we're done recording this. I need a fudge round right now.
They're so good.
But they were up against the Christmas tree cakes, which, by the way, I also enjoy those, very similar to the zebra cake. Basically, it is a zebra cake shaped like a Christmas tree, but nothing beats a fudge round. Now we're getting into, so the cosmic brownies versus, what is that, the marshmallow pies?
Yeah, fuck the marshmallow pies.
Nobody likes a marshmallow pie. It's gross.
So cosmic brownie gets the pass.
Yep. My kids love cosmic brownies.
My oldest does.
And now I'm the next one. I am, so yeah, Swiss cake rolls, which were one of my all time favorites. So that's going to win for me. I have a certain way to eat them. I'll talk about in a second. They're up against peanut butter crunch bars.
Never heard of her.
So I've seen them. I don't think I've ever had one.
Yeah, I never had one.
When you get a Swiss cake roll, how do you eat it?
The honest to God truth, I eat all the chocolate off the outside and then I unroll it and eat it by pieces.
We're brothers. You and me are brothers.
That's awesome.
I thought that was so unique that that's the way I did it, but that's exactly what I would do. Take that waxy chocolate and you kind of peel it off all the way around, and then I would like bite the ends off and then unroll it and then lick up the fucking the cream inside and eat it. That's the way you eat a Swiss cake roll.
I can't believe I just stole your thunder on that.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong if you haven't eaten a Swiss cake roll like that.
That is the best way for sure. 100%.
So, moving on to round two. Now we've got oatmeal cream pies versus zebra cakes. That's tough because we're not going to agree on this because that's zebra cakes for me, 100%.
You know what? I like oatmeal cream pies, but I'll concede one and give you zebra cakes.
Oh, you do enjoy a zebra cake.
Oh, I really do enjoy the zebra cakes. Oh. I don't know if I honestly enjoy them more than the oatmeal cream pie, but we're playing ball here, so
all right.
I'll give you one. You gave me one earlier, I'll give you one back.
All right. I think the cupcake beats the honey bun.
I agree.
All right. And then what do we got? Nutty Buddy versus the fudge round. I think we both agree the fudge round wins.
Fudge round's going to that next round.
By the fudge, I think we decided at this point the fudge rounds are going to win this fucking tournament.
I think so.
Yeah. Swiss cake roll beats cosmic brownies?
Correct.
I'll say the next round we've got zebra cakes versus the cupcakes. That's a tough one.
You know what? I think if in my opinion, it's zebra cakes over the Little Debbie's cupcakes because the Hostess cupcakes are better.
Okay, I'll agree with that. To me, it all depends on if I'm in the mood for chocolate or not.
Yeah. Now, I just think if you go to the store and get them, the Hostess cupcakes are better than the Little Debbie cupcakes.
That's interesting. I need to do the Pepsi challenge when I go to the truck stop tonight to get my fudge round and get a Hostess and a Little Debbie cupcake and see which one is better.
Yeah, just my opinion, but I think that's where it's at.
Well, we'll see. I'll do the Pepsi challenge. But so we have The zebra cakes went out on the left side of the bracket. On the right side, we got the fudge rounds now versus the Swiss cake rolls. Two of my absolute favorites, but fudge rounds take the win for me.
100% fudge rounds take the win for me.
And then the fudge rounds obviously then beat the zebra cakes.
You can't beat them. You can't beat them.
I think they're underrated. You know, people were talking about all these other ones, but like the fudge round, if you've never had a fudge round, it's fucking amazing.
They're so good.
It's like soft, chewy chocolate cookies with chocolate whipped cream in between them. And then something about those little candy stripes they put, the stripes they put on top, it's kind of like a little crunchy chocolate as a little texture. Mmm. That's the shit.
It is.
I'm getting me a double decker so fast tonight. That's happening.
I'm so happy you're going.
I'm going to post it. As funny as, because this will post in 2 days, the video and the audio of this. But I'm putting on our Instagram tonight, me eating a fucking fudge round.
Excellent. Excellent. So the next question comes from Ashley, and it's directed at me. Mm-hmm. It says, what's the most ridiculous thing that someone has asked you to tattoo on them? So this is a two-part question. So the first part, really, really simple for me. Man, I've been tattooing a long time, but I was probably 12 or 13 years ago. I had a young lady come in, and I was sitting up front kind of waiting around, and she asked if I could tattoo some lettering on her. And I absolutely tattooed some lettering on you, no big deal. What do you want it to say? I want lettering on the lower back that says, money makes me come. Now, ooh. I did not believe that's what she said. In my head, I was like, there's no possible way that that is what she just told me. You know, that's too far out there. So I said, oh, no problem. I got up and I gave her a pen and paper. And I said, just make sure you spell it right. Write down what you want it to say. And she wrote it down again. Money makes me come.
How did she spell now, come?
C-U-M, the way you'd think. Yep. So with that being said, talking to her, she's actually, I worked in South Bend, Indiana at the time, and she actually was a stripper. I mean, you could have probably possibly figured that out. However, I'll 100% give it to her. She stripped in Atlanta and could work one weekend a month in Atlanta stripping, and come back to South Bend and live the rest of the month off what she made. So I'll give it to her.
No shit. And she must have had a body fit for an exotic dancer.
An okay one.
I mean, I'm not into that kind of thing. Not women. I'm going to shut up. I'm not into strip clubs is what I was trying to say, but it was getting weird.
All right. So her second part of the question is, what's the most meaningful tattoo you've ever done? That's a strange one to ask because it's hard to have a meaningful tattoo. I mean, there's so many meaningful tattoos I've done. I've done tattoos for loved ones that have passed away. I've done so many different tattoos, but I think a process that I went through, at some point my shop did a tattoos for a cure benefit. We did cancer ribbon tattoos. That. We donated all the proceeds to the local, it's the Bering County Cancer Service, helps local patients with services they can't afford. So that was the whole plan, is the first year we did it, it was very important to us. We wanted to do this. We wanted to help give back. Well, by the time the second year rolled around, my mother had breast cancer. So the event took on a whole new meaning to me. You know, it was a lot more personal the second year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, maybe not necessarily that there was a tattoo that was super meaningful, but just the whole idea behind it. You know, I've had friends pass from cancer. My mother-in-law passed from cancer. My father is actually battling cancer right now. I mean, it's there's a lot that goes on there. So, I mean, tattoos can be healing.
You do that event every year still, don't you?
We have not done it in a couple years. Strictly because it's not that I don't want to do it. It is very time consuming and we have to jump through a ton of hoops to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And I am super busy and it's not that I don't want to, it's that I forget to start the train rolling when I need to get it rolling.
It was early enough.
So in order for us to do this event in October, I have to get the ball rolling in June in order to get it done. And typically I remember that we do the event in about September.
Right. That sounds about right. Yeah.
So I mean, it's not that we don't want to do it. And it's not that I'm trying to say that I'm too busy to do it. I absolutely love to do it. It's just that there's so many you would never believe that donating money like that, there's so many hoops to jump through. Because right. we're a business and donating money in a large sum of money, it's not just a personal donation.
Mm-hmm.
We literally have to go to board meetings in order to be approved to give them money.
Right. Wait, I used to do that when I worked with my buddy Doug Myers on the he did the burn run, the motorcycle run, donated to the Great Lakes Burn Camp. And I was their treasurer for a couple of years. And yeah, it's pretty crazy that the process they go through to make something like the same thing. You know, we were a 501c3 corporation and then would make the donation to the camp for burn victims. And it was, it's a process.
Yeah, I never would have guessed it was that much of a process to do. You know, the first year we did it, we didn't even know. The first year we did it, we just set up and did it. And then we went to give them the money and they're like, whoa, hold your horses.
Down, bucko.
You're like, well, I can't just give you a check for the money we made. No, you can't.
Yeah, that's crazy. Can I tell you something?
Yes, sir.
It's fucking hot in here. You know how it gets hot in here? And I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt. I'm about to Bert Kreischer the last few minutes of this podcast.
Oh, that's awesome. You probably should. You probably should for the viewers at home.
I'm doing it. I'm sweating. For all you viewers, if you don't know who Bert Kreischer is, look him up because he does exactly what I'm about to do.
Yes, and it's awesome.
Oh, I'm sweating to death, dude. Ugh.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Are you naked yet?
Welcome to the show, folks. I think, Zach, you, let's leave the hat off with the messy hair. Let's rock this thing out.
All right, I'm taking my shirt off.
That's right. This will make great cover art for the episode. Both of us shirtless, making a fucking podcast. We should have done this from the beginning.
Yeah, we're both shirtless.
That feels so much better.
This has gotten weird and fun. So
good thing we're not in the same room.
Next question from Angel says, thoughts on the movie Contagion versus the COVID-19 pandemic?
Man, I saw this one, and I got to be honest with you. If I've seen Contagion, I don't remember it.
Yeah, I've never seen the movie, and I have no idea.
Sorry, Angel. Good question for smarter people, but we're not.
Neither. 100%.
Yeah. Jason says, Jason Kalu? Let's just call him Jason. Jason's very active on the fan page. He's messaging all the time. Love me some Jason. He says, what's the best thing you've watched during quarantine, and have you gotten your quarantine haircuts yet?
So if you listen to Bob and Weave or you're behind the scenes on Bob and Weave, you'll know that I got a haircut the other day, a drunk haircut. Well, I was drunk, and my 9-year-old cut my hair.
I can't wait. You're probably wearing a hat right now, aren't you?
I am wearing a hat. Yes.
Well, take it off because I want to see when I watch this video, when you send this to me, what you look like with your 9-year-old haircut.
It actually looks pretty good. I got my hat off, kind of showing everybody right now. Doesn't look too terrible.
I have a confession to make. It's going to make people really upset, maybe some people, but I did get a haircut, and I had my friend Carrie cut my hair at her house. We were talking about something, and I was like, God, my hair is a mess. And she's like, well, I'm desperate. And, you know, she's like, have you tried to file unemployment?
Yeah, it's a disaster. Yeah,
so was hers. And she's just like, I'm just trying to pay my rent. I was like, well, I'll come over there. And I'm like, have any of you been sick or gone anywhere? I haven't. I'm going to go over there and let you cut my hair. And so I have a haircut. Doesn't matter because I'm wearing that Cromer hat 24/7 just to piss Becky off.
All right, so he asked if we watched anything good.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I've watched some stuff. I haven't watched anything that I was particularly thrilled with.
Have you watched the new Tiger King update?
There's an update?
There's a new episode of Tiger King hosted by Joe McHale, and he interviews people from the show, and it makes the whole show worth watching.
I did not know that, but I'm watching that shit tonight. So if I just go to the Tiger King on Netflix, that's just a new episode.
There's a new episode, and he asks the questions like you or I would ask, like important ones. Like he asked Jeff Lowe how many Affliction T-shirts he owns.
I almost just spit beer all over my computer.
Yeah. My wife and I died laughing watching it.
Did they ask the other dude why he was in the fucking bathtub for the interview?
They talk about it. So that guy is not on there, but they ask one of the other people why, like, what they thought about him being in the bathtub.
That's awesome. You know what? What I was going to say was, it's an oldie but a goodie. I've never seen. I don't know how I've never even heard of it before. But Becky and I started watching Community. Have you seen that?
Oh, love Community. Love Community.
Oh, dude, so funny. Like Chevy Chase, it's fucking fantastic. So I guess we've just been, you know, at night laying around binging Community. We're on like the somewhere in the second season right now, but I'm enjoying that. Obviously, The Tiger King was interesting, but nothing that really knocked your socks off yet.
So have you seen Abed and Troy do their handshake?
Yeah.
Yeah, me and the boys do that. That's our handshake.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. We watched the follow-up to the R. Kelly, the second part of the R. Kelly series. That's the recent thing we watched. Pretty upsetting. I mean, it's pretty intense. Caught a few things that were interesting that I don't think a lot of people would catch in the show, but I thought the show was really good.
Okay, I was reading something else and forgot what you were talking about. What show?
The show. the Surviving R. Kelly.
That's right, because right when you said it, I was thinking Becky watched that, and I haven't seen it. I didn't see the first season or whatever, or the second one. It's too depressing to me. I just can't do it.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. The one thing I caught, and this might piss some people off, and I'm not trying to piss people off. I genuinely feel for everybody in that show. I think it's horrific. I think R. Kelly's a piece of shit. You can tell the narrative of the filmmakers that made the show. The big thing about the narrative of the film was black girls matter. Supremely important. These black women have not got justice. There is a white victim that's in there that just totally gets blown away. They talk about her for about a minute and a half, and she never gets brought up again in the whole entire series. When they go through the victims montage, they never show her. You know, I mean, it's things like that it just didn't fit the narrative of the black girls matter. So I caught it right away. Not trying to be, you know, one of those people. It's just one thing I noticed.
That's good, racist. Let's move on.
And that's exactly it. I mean, I didn't want to say it because, I mean, I genuinely feel for those girls, and I didn't. It just was one of those things where I was feeling like it should be about women, period.
Right.
You know, protecting these women. And this woman that I'm talking about, I mean, there's stories of, I mean, she has a story of, not only a story, but a filed story of him ripping the necklace off of her and scratching her and cutting her. And they found her in the parking lot crying, bleeding all over the place, you know? So she has a horrific story too. And they just kind of blew her off because she didn't fit the narrative of the rest of the show.
Right. The theme of the series.
Yeah.
All right, so we're coming up on my having a pee time, and we're over an hour, so let's move on to the next question. Becky Pennick Fancher says to follow up.
I would say Fancher
with my why would I say Fancher? What? It's very it looks like a very easy name to pronounce, and I made it more fucking difficult for no reason.
You really did. You really did. Why don't we just go with their first names?
Her name is Becky is Bouquet Pennick Fancher. And she says to follow up with my same question as before, but with a twist. What is your pet peeve specifically related to this pandemic?
Gloves. People wearing fucking rubber gloves because they don't understand cross-contamination.
Right. You know, I was going to say the same thing in a different way because Becky's bitched about that too, but it's not quite the same as me, and as because you're talking about how you're cross-contaminating everything, but she was making it seem like it was making it like it's worse to wear the gloves. And for me, like it's not worse, it's the same as if you touch it with your hand, all these different things. It's just a waste of it's a waste of a glove. You're not effectively doing anything if you touch different things with the same glove.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, it's a stupid pet peeve, but the fucking masks are killing me. And I they're great. Like some states say you have to wear them, and you probably should. But something about when I walk into the store and the people with the masks on, I don't know, like loser.
You know what else has been killing me? That's not.
Wish you would have laughed at that. Part of this. Made it funnier than.
Sorry, I was thinking about this. This is something that has been a huge pet peeve of mine that has nothing to do with the pandemic, but has everything to do with you. Not you per se.
What's that?
Do you know, I feel like our listeners, a mass of our listeners are Truth and Justice listeners, but they're the awesome listeners. And they're the ones that are going to understand what I'm going to say. Do you know how many times a day I see people asking, where the other parts of your TV show are and how tired of it I am.
Oh my God. Yeah. How tired of it you are. They're tagging me.
I know.
In all of them. You know what? That's my biggest pet peeve of the coronavirus. And dude, and I've answered it over and over and over again. And it was because, obviously, for those who don't know, that didn't watch the show or whatever, that we recorded a four-episode series, 4 1-hour episodes. Oxygen chose to air that as 2 2-hour episodes. And within the episodes, they said part one, victims, part two, memories, part three, you know, whatever. There were four parts. And so on the podcast, as I'm covering each part, I just did part four. They're like, why is there no part four on the show? And all I'm thinking is, motherfucker, if you watch the show and you listened, you know that what I'm talking about, you already saw.
Oh. All right. I'm glad we're on the same page on that one.
Yeah. I'm with you.
All right. So Tony says, so being a Star Wars fan, this is directed at you.
Right.
Being a Star Wars fan, did you get to meet Werner Herzog?
No. And I'm going to be pretty ignorant here, but I think it's a different Herzog.
I think it is too, honestly.
Yeah, so Herzog and Company that produced my show, that's Mark Herzog is the guy that owns that. And they've won a ton of, like they're award-winning documentarians. They did the decades. So if you watch on CNN or Netflix, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, all those, History of Comedy, all those were all produced by Herzog, by Mark Herzog. I don't know or think that there's any relation between him and Werner Herzog.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there is either.
So no, I didn't.
We're going to pull one more question, and then I'm going to cut her off because it's Kelly and we love her, but we're going to cut her off. So we're going to go on the light question. She says, favorite band or singer to see live?
Eric Church,
really? Why is that?
He is, I love his music. I love his style. I love that he writes his own music. For those of you that don't know him, he's a country guy, a modern country guy. But he's one of those guys that, you know, like every song that he sings, I relate to. You know, he's just kind of a country boy like me, you know, and just really, really loves music, loves his songwriting. And then when I've seen him live in concert, he is just a blast, like energetic, loves what he's doing, very interactive with the crowd. And then I saw him last year in October. And then 2 years before that, we saw him. And in both of those, he did tours where he had no opening act. He played for the first time he went 2 hours, took an intermission for a half hour, came back out, did another 2 hours, all him. And then after that, came back out for the encore and just did like a jam session with the crowd, like literally people shouting out to him and the band songs they want him to play, like cover songs. And we're playing them. Right. So just, I think he's a cool guy. Love his music. Love his songwriting. Love him live.
That's a good one. And you know, you said that made me think of when we saw Rush. Rush did that. Rush played for about an hour and a half, took an intermission, then played for about another 2 hours after that. And it was really funny because at the time we saw Rush, this was 2012. They're old. You know, they even said like we're taking an intermission because we're old. But right. It was amazing when they played by themselves. That was an amazing set. You know, Neil Peart. You know, rest in peace, Neil Peart. But, you know, he did a 10-minute drum solo. And, I mean, the whole thing was amazing to watch. But I think if I really had to narrow it down, I'd say Rob Zombie. I've seen Rob Zombie a couple times live. He puts on an amazing show. You know, it's not just the music. I mean, they put on a whole show. And it's fun to watch.
Rob Zombie, huh? I would never think. See, yes. Anytime I've gone to, like, some music that I like that I would never go see live. For example, I love the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Love me some ska.
Oh, love Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
I went and saw them live in Denver when I lived in Colorado. Most miserable experience of my life. A Mighty Mighty Boss Tones concert is a giant fucking mosh pit.
Yeah. Been to a few of those.
And mind you, I wasn't an old man then. I was like 20. But I was like, you know, like there was no seats. It was a big open stadium floor. And it's just like, you couldn't enjoy the music because everybody's just banging into you and sweating. Like that shit should never happen again. Hopefully the corona does away with that shit.
God, you're an old man.
Do you like doing a mosh pit, or did you?
No, I don't enjoy that, but I've been to enough shows that have had them.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to shows where, like, they break out, and they have them, like, on the floor, but they're still, like, if you're in, like, a normal seat, you can still sit there and or stand there and sing whatever, watch a concert.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen Bush in concert, and it was kind of like that. Or actually, excuse me, Bush was a big outdoor concert. That was awesome. I saw the, fuck, why am I drawing a blank on their name? Their symbols, the American flag upside down. I really don't like what they...
The symbol is the American flag upside down.
I can't believe I can't pull their name.
I have no idea who you're talking about at the top of my head.
Oh, God. Now I have to look it up.
You know, I've seen, I have a huge, like, variety of music I like. I've seen a lot of different people, a lot of different styles of music. You know, I was at a Slayer concert that they had to stop the concert because the mosh pit got out of control. You know, I mean, that I've seen that type of stuff. I've also been to a concert. One of my favorite memories from a concert is I took my wife to go see one of her favorite bands, which is Theory of a Dead Man, on her birthday in Lansing, and the lead singer fell off the stage.
Oh.
Yep, he walked right off the catwalk, walked right off the end of the stage. You can find video if you just look it up.
That's great. Sorry, I was half listening and looking. I can't find... Dude, this is so stupid. Like, this band, this is driving me nuts, because it's like I know the band. They're a popular band. They're, at least they were a popular band, and I'm just drawing a complete blank. But anyway, who fucking cares?
Warp. It is what it is. Bob, it has been fun catching up with you, staying corona-free. You too. At least I'm corona-free. I don't know if you are. I can't see you. I am definitely 6 feet away from you, which sucks.
At least. I'm 6 feet away from my camera. So I definitely 6 feet away from you. I was just thinking this is super comfortable. Maybe we should, even when we're back in the studio together again, we should just do all the podcast shirtless.
I'm fine. I'm shirtless. We can do this.
All right. With all that being said, Zachary, thank you for being my friend.
I love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. Love you guys. We'll see you sometime. Hopefully next week. We'll see how it goes. Take care. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, and music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@BobWeavePod.com. And if you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.